us to watch for you, Father. And we thank you. We praise you because that is our promise, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And that we will always, always, always have the good. No matter what the circumstances stand like. No matter if the weapon is formed, it won't prosper. Father, we have to learn to look for the big. Look for you. Thank you, Father. Bless our pastors as they're traveling back and forth and preaching. May their services be blessed. Their traveling be blessed. Bring them back again to the next appointed time, Father Jesus. On fire for you, Lord. Light us up, Jesus. Let us be the kingdom people that you have placed in this dark world, the lights of this world, as you are light. Let people see you in us, Lord. Now I pray the anointing upon this blessing, this message you have given. I surrender this vessel, Father, mind, body, and spirit to you, Lord. Let your words be my words, your thoughts my thoughts. Let nothing be left to me, only you. Open our hearts that we may receive the Lord Jesus. Not only just receive it, Lord, that it will be the truth in our lives, but it will be reflected to others. In your precious and holy name, I pray. Amen. I want to thank you, Lord. Yes, let's give him a round of applause. Thank you, Lord. He is worthy. So I want to take the time at this time to honor those that have served in the military. We're about to celebrate Memorial Day. And those that have given the ultimate sacrifice. I have many in my family that were military men. My husband. And I know the sacrifice that it is. I've seen it in the families. I'm thankful that I wasn't a military girl. I tried to be. Daddy wouldn't let it. Daddy must have known there was something else for me. But I want to honor those that have served, and those that are still serving, and those that paid the ultimate price. I want to honor their families. Thank you. Thank you so much. And, you know, I want to honor the Christians that went before us, the soldiers before us, the kingdom men and women that we come up under, that have gone on. They have met, they've run the race, and they've gone on to glory. I honor them today as well. Without them, how many of us would actually be standing here today? Think about it. I am blessed to have a family that had God. But today I want to talk to you about a couple of things that keep God from doing big in our lives. Not because he's not capable, because we won't allow it. And today I want to talk to you about contrary wind. For 2 weeks, the wind has been blowing. It's been whispering and talking to me. Not so much audible, but God was giving me this message, contrary winds. And I had been teaching on Mark 6, 45 through 51. And you know, the wind is a funny thing. We can't see where it comes. We can only see what it touches, what it produces. We see the winds, the flowers sway, the grass move, and the trees, the beauty of the trees move, especially when they're green like this. And then there's the winter time when you hear it howling through your house, around your house, and it makes this hollowing sound because it's cold out there. And then my favorite wind is the wind on the beach or on the water. It's that gentle breeze. There's peace in it to me. My husband and I were blessed to be at the beach not too long ago when one of the hurricanes came upon shore, not too close to us.
my mind for 2 weeks. And I was reading the story in Mark 6, and I was astonished by the idea that you can be in God's will and still have contrary winds. You can be in God's will and still deal and contend with a contrary wind. Contrary just means that it is opposite in nature or direction or meaning. And sometimes that's just an explanation of our fleshly nature, isn't it? It's contrary to God. Contrary by nature to God. And Pastor's been teaching us about this for weeks. The dark passenger that we all have is our flesh. Our fleshly nature. The sin that we were born into by nature. Many times we find ourselves in the midst of these contrary winds. We find that we're being opposed by the enemy. And he comes at you in many different ways. He comes at you through circumstances. He comes at you through people. Those that you love, maybe those you don't. And there's the times when he sits back and he just lets your flesh take over. And that wind is only contrary if you oppose it. And that wind is the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about the two contrary winds. And I wanted to read Mark 6, 45-51. And you know, we are free. We are set free. According to John 38, 31, and 32, if we submit to the Holy Spirit, He will set you free. You are set free. But a lot of us contend with our own nature, with God and His will, because we don't want to do it. It doesn't look good. It's going to be painful. It's going to hurt. It's going to cost me something, Lord. I'm going to have to give up something. But God says, if you submit to my will, you'll be free. And a lot of us, we look at those things and we don't realize those are really just chains. Those are things that we are bound down with. Ideas. Nature, second nature, our sinful mind. You know, that's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's a journey every day. Every day is a journey. And if you all made it, praise God for you. Come down here and teach me a little more, because I'm still working on it every day. So, Mark 6, 45-51. And Jesus had just fed the 5,000 with the fishes and the loaves. And it says, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before into Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And I'm just going to talk to you and teach as I do, as we go along. And immediately he made his disciples get into the boat. And he told them, go to the other side. When you're in God's will, it gives you instructions. Get in the boat, go to the other side. That's the simple simplicity of being in God's will. Do as he says. Notice he gave them instruction, get in the boat, go up to the other side. He even told them how to do it. But he had to constrain them because they didn't want to go. Many times when we see and hear God's will in the scripture, or whether it be something he's spoken to you about, you look at it with those eyes, like, sure, you want me to do that? I don't see how that's going to work out for me. Yeah, you told me how to do it, but I've never done that before. No one's ever done that before. How are they going to take me? How are they going to see me? No, get in the boat. Go to the other side. I love that. Because I catch myself doing that many times when God is asking me to do things. And then verse 46, it says, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain. If you notice in 45a, it said, he sent away the people. Don't be trying to do his job. Oh, that's a sermon all by itself. But God didn't give me that today. Don't do his part. You have a part to play. Follow God's will. Get in the boat. Go to the other side. follow God's will. Let him do his part. Take my hands off that bunny pole because that I could spend there all day. And it says, the ship, and when he had sent them away, he departed into the mountain to pray. And when even was come, so he'd been there a while, and they'd been there a while, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. Evening had come. You ever feel like you're in the boat for a long time? You know, God's timing is not our timing. Isn't that right? We keep trying to help him out, don't we, sometimes? Oh, get in the boat, go to the other side. I can tell you do anything else. Preach this sermon. Write it this way. I don't care what Pastor so-and-so or Sister so-and-so or Mr. so-and-so said. This is what I want you to say. And this is how I want it said. Don't do my part, Sonia. Get in the boat. Go to the other side. But I've been there a while, Lord. I've been doing the same thing over and over and over. Are you sure this is still where you want me to be? Get in the boat. Go to the other side. That was it. Keep doing the last thing he told you to do. Keep doing it until he tells you otherwise. Verse 48. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. I read that a couple weeks ago. We got a good laugh out of it. He saw them toiling. You are never out of his vision. Never. There's too many scriptures in the Bible. Two of them. Psalms 34 and 15, NIV version says, the eyes of the Lord upon the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. That is repeated in 1 Peter 3 and 12. You are never where he doesn't know where you are. He sent you. He sees you out there still doing the same thing that I told you to do. Don't be discouraged. But I looked it up, tolling and row. Tolling and row. And Matthew calls it, but the ship was in the midst of the sea tossed, for the wind was contrary. I looked up those words, tolling and tossed. Those are to be tortured and tormented. The contrary wind was taking its toll on the ones that were just doing what God told us to do. Get in the boat, go to the other side. And here comes this wind. He's opposing me. Are you sure, Lord, I'm supposed to be here? Do you not see what is going on? Get in the boat. Go to the other side. Do as I told you to do. I see you toiling. If we allow the contrary wind to torture us, I don't know what your contrary wind is today. Some days it's different, isn't it? Some days it's a family member. Some days it's your children. Some days it's your job. Some days it's the situation at your job. Some days it's your money situation. Some days it's the car. Some days it's the hospital bill. Some days you fell and hit the concrete at 5 o'clock in the morning and you've got to go to work at 8. Contrary wind. And it keeps coming. It keeps coming. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I fell, missed the last step, hit the concrete, landing at the bottom, 5 o'clock in the morning, all alone, by myself, in the backyard, no one could see me, couldn't get up, couldn't walk, gathered my strength, and I basically crawled or hobbled back into the house, thinking that I'd obviously broken something, because there were too many lumps and bumps, and blue stuff, and black stuff. And I go in, and I lay down. And within 2 days, the next day, my husband comes in, and he pronounces that there's something going on with him. We ended up twice in the ER with him for a kidney stone. Twice. Contrary winds. Just the enemy. Doing his thing. You know, you won't want to make friends with him. Oh, baby, he ain't got nothing good for you, let me tell you that. He ain't got nothing good for you. So they are being tortured. They are being tormented by this contrary wind. And in the fourth watch, walking in the midst of the wind on the sea. Now, have you ever seen the wind get contrary on the water? It throws you some pretty white caps. Sometimes some you don't want to be around. Definitely don't want to be in the boat out there with it. But my Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, He's walking on the sea. That wind ain't bothering Him. Neither is the sea. He's walking on it. And you know, I'm crazy. I'd be like Peter, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. I'd be out there. There goes that crazy girl again. Didn't she learn the last time? Keep your eyes on Him. But it says about the fourth watch of the night, He cometh unto them walking onto the sea and would have passed them by. We researched fourth watch for our message a couple of weeks ago, and the fourth watch was right at dawn. And God told me that week, watch, because it's about to dawn. The light is about to step on the scene. I don't care what winds are blowing. I don't care what sea is tossed. I don't know what torture you think you're going through. But I'm about to be there. Watch for me. That's the problem when you're in the storm or in the contrary winds. We're not watching for God. We're so busy looking at everything else. Where's that wind? I've been out here rolling, Lord. I've been out here doing in Your will day after day, week after week, year after year. I don't see any progress. Check your vision. Don't you see God in all that you're doing? Are you too busy looking at the waves and the wind and the water and the other person in the boat with you who's just as terrified as you are? Be careful who you listen to. Who speaks into your life? And I love the part it said, He would have passed them by. He's confident that they are going to be there when He gets there. Said He would have passed them by. Verse 49, but when they saw Him walking upon the water, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. And this wasn't a cry for, praise God, He's here. No, it says, for they all saw Him or were troubled. One version said, they cried out for fear. The one that has the answer, the one that can make the difference, and we're terrified. God, You've got me out here in the middle of this and nothing is going right. Where are You, God? Why am I here? Are you crying out in fear? And the answer is right there. And I love, it says verse 50, for they all saw Him and were troubled, and immediately, He didn't wait 2 seconds, 5 seconds, a minute, give them a chance to focus their eyes. Immediately, He talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. That explains a lot of us sometimes. When the wind is contrary, comes up against us, the slightest little thing and we fold. Oh God, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't God's will. Oh, I thought it was going to work out this way. I thought I was going to be in it this way. I thought it was going to happen this way. Do you see their mindset? They've been rowing for a long time, struggling with the contrary wind, and fear has set in. That's not any of us, is it? Doubt, disbelief, fear, they're all cousins. One brings the other one along. If you let Him in, just in case, the little foxes spoil the vine, Jesus said. The little foxes spoil the vine. And I love verse 51, it says, and when He went up unto them in the ship, and the wind ceased. And the wind ceased. I had Jesus. Why does any wind, even contrary wind, should it be a problem to me? But you see us all the time. I'm struggling. I don't know if I'm hearing the right thing. I don't know if God is still speaking to me. Have you ever been in that boat? I have. Check your connection, I used to tell you. Check your connection. You're looking at the winds and the waves, and you're hearing it howl, and you're seeing the winds and the waters roll, and the water in the boat. But you're not looking at who's walking on the water. Who the wind can't even blow over. Who the wind can't make afraid. And he's walking on the sea, troubled and tossed as it was, tortured. But we're allowing the contrary wind to torture us. How is it that I can allow the enemy to come to me and tell me, this is not going to work? Are you sure this is what God said? You will never be able to do that. You are too different. They don't understand you. They can't seem to connect with you. What is the wind blowing at you today? What is he telling you? That contrary wind. How do we face, endure, and overcome contrary wind? Well, I want to talk about the two winds. As a child of God, you should be like Jesus, walking on that water and that wind not even bothering you. When you got in the boat, it was over. It was done. It was done. When you got in the boat, it should have been done. There are two winds. There's the enemy, and there is our flesh. And the Holy Spirit is likened into a wind who comes and works and guides and leads us. But he becomes our enemy when we resist him. There is your contrary wind. It's the one you made yourself, isn't it, when you're disobedient. So I started looking at why I don't have to worry about the contrary winds. Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work to good, together for the good, to them that love the Lord, love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, his will. If you're in God's will and the wind comes, baby, it ain't got no power over you unless you allow it to. All things going to work to my good. I'm just going to ride it out. I'm going to do what I know to do. I love Joseph's life, Genesis 15, 19, and 20. Who besides Job had contrary wind? Joseph was his brothers, the ones that should love and protect him, the elder brothers. But they sold him into slavery. And then one situation after another, that contrary wind kept coming against him. But you know what? Until he ended up in the jail. And that was God's will. Look what he said to his brothers. He said, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. How many times can you look at yourself and the winds have been contrary and say, oh, it's okay because I'm in the will of God? I don't know about you, but many times I tend to falter on that idea. He says, verse 20, but as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, he was living in that promise, to save much people alive. Your contrary wind ain't always just for you. It's for the next generation. It's for the next person that's going through that situation who needs to hear a story of overcoming. A story of steadfast integrity. That if they can do it with God's help, so can I. His will began for me at salvation. He made me righteous. John 3 and 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Salvation. Romans 10 and 9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart what that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is a promise. I don't care if you confess. confessed 10 minutes ago and you made another mistake, get it under the blood as we think of Jesus. Get it under the blood. He will forgive us. 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Another promise. I can be made whole. I can be in right standing. This is how I know that I have overcome any obstacle. I can overcome any obstacle, any contrary wind. And then here's the hard part that most of us can't swallow, is being born again, a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, behold, all things are new. I have become a new creation when I believed in Christ. Nicodemus was trying to wrap this stuff around his head in John 3:3. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. But Nicodemus seeks the Lord out in the nighttime and asks. Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus is like, how can a man go back into his mother's womb? He's still thinking in the natural. He's still looking at that contrary wind. But Jesus goes on to explain it. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born, go back. The five keys. Born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Go on to the next one. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. There is a wind. The Holy Spirit was sent to us to guide us into all truth. Guide us into everything. But we have to consent to that wind. It don't make sense to us. We may not always understand it. But it's like the wind. Do what God said to do. Get in the boat, go to the other side. Acts 2:1-4. This is before the Holy Spirit came to live within them. They had Jesus Christ in the body, in the flesh. But we have a better promise. Acts 2:1-4 is the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from the heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. That Holy Spirit lives within every believer. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 1:13-14, in the New Living Translation, it says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saved you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. Tell me again that you don't have the power to withstand the contrary wind. In John 17:23, it tells us that God loves us, that we are one with Christ. I am in them, they are in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved if you got off the boat, get back in the boat. He's going to help you. Stay in His will. Even if the wind is contrary, stay in His will. Stop looking at it as a problem. Because to you, child of God, it is not. It is not. 1 John 4 and 4 says, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Can it be any plainer? Ain't nothing on this earth greater than, bigger than the one that lives within you. So why are you scared of the wind? You can't see it. You can hear it. You may feel what it produces, but it's just torture. It's just there to torture you, to whisper constantly, to remind you of something that is a lie. The other contrary wind is the Holy Spirit. He's not contrary to us unless we decide to make Him contrary. Romans 6, 11 and 14, it says, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, and be alive, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the flesh thereof. Romans 6 and 13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as the instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Where do you get off saying that it is stronger than I? It may have just occupied you a little longer. But sin shall not have dominion over you. That is a choice. That is your choice. When the Holy Spirit blows into your life and shows you things that need to be changed that aren't in line with the Word, you have a choice. You can resist, or you can walk in the authority that you were given as a child of God. We have power over the enemy. Luke 10 and 19, it said, behold, I give unto you power tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Not just some. Not just on this day or that day. Not just when you're feeling it. All the power. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Wow. Do you look at yourself as that powerful? Or are you afraid of the wind? Bad wolf out there puffing and puffing, trying to blow the house down, right? That's all he is. That's all he is. Luke 9, 1 through 12, this is where he sent out the 12 and gave them power and authority over all the devils and to cure disease. This is before resurrection. Those disciples, I won't read all of it, they all went out and they would come back and they say, Lord, even the demons were subject to us in your name. In your name. That's also found in Luke 10 if you want to look at that one. But Philippians 2, 9 and 11 tells me that I have a weapon amongst many others. It says, God also hath highly exalted him and given me a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Father. Many of us read that scripture and think that that's somewhere in the future. No, baby, you're living it now. That's the authority you have in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. So with all this authority and with all this power, how is it that we are not able to contend with the contrary wind of our life? How is it that it keeps us stuck? Knocks us off course. That we can't resist it. Matthew 16:24-25 is, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There's our problem. We won't even deny ourselves. More or less, take up our cross and follow him. We are so self-centered. Oh, woe is me. Oh, woe is me. My problem's bigger than your problem. No, sister. Woman of God. Man of God. It is not bigger than God. It is not bigger than God that you serve. Deny yourself. You know, Jesus had feelings, but you didn't see him living by them. He walked up to the tomb of Lazarus. He wept. He didn't stay in that place, though, did he? He said, roll back the tomb. Roll back the stone. Let him loose. Tear it down. Take those bindages off of him. You know, that's our part. That's our part. Remove the bandages. Let them loose. God does his part, but they see that in us. They see God in us. And then we can help them tear down those bandages and come free from death. Death and sin. He said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. We are so bent up and we're going to lose something. I've lost something. I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to be able to do that. And I'll be the first one to admit, this walk ain't easy. It ain't easy. It requires self-sacrifice. Every day. Every day. Every day. But let me tell you something. I would much rather be on this side than on the other side. I would much rather be on the winning team that has the authority and the power, even in this realm, to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, compassion, forbearance, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I did not give you the spirit of fear, but of power, joy, love, and a sound mind. Do you see how many people walking around here without a sound mind? Oh my gosh. You can turn the news on and you can see it every day. Heck, I don't even have to do that. I can go to work. I can see the issues when they walk in the door. No peace. No love. No joy. It's only fear. It's only fear. Because we said, and we watch these numbers on the TV every day of how many have died from this virus. There's a purpose for that. It's embedded fear in you. This contrary wind, which has no control over you and I. It may form, but it's not going to prosper. It may come nigh, but it's not going to take me. John 10:10 told you what the purpose of the other side is. The thief, his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. He's not talking about later. He's talking about now. He's talking about today, tomorrow, whenever the wind blows, whenever the storm comes, whenever the enemy rears his ugly head or the flesh, you can live a rich and satisfying life. You can be that light. But for those on the other side, he has but one purpose. And it's for you. It's for the sinners. It's for those that love him, who give their lives to him, who don't quite accept God. Oh, it's okay on Sunday. But this is his purpose. Steal, kill, and destroy. Pastor talked about it a little bit last week. That's it. He ain't out here trying to make a home for you in heaven. Oh, no, 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 no. Did you read Revelation, how it all ends? I'll stay on this side. I'll stay in the boat, okay? I'll stay on the boat. If God wants me to walk on the water, I'll walk on the water, but I'll stay in the boat with him. How is it that we are so overcome? The second reason is because we try to do things in our own strength. And I love Peter. Peter's so great. I identify with Peter in so many bad ways. It ain't even funny. But Peter is a great example of this, as many are. Matthew 16:22, when Jesus was talking about what he was going to have to do died for the world. Come on in. Peter goes, he took him aside. And he said, Lord, he starts rebuking him. Peter, talking to Jesus, the Trinity, the Savior, God in human form. He says, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. What does Jesus do? Now, let me tell you, literally, Peter had just said that he was the Christ. So he knew who he was. But he took him aside and was rebuking him for telling him that he was going to have to die for the world. Peter's trying to do it his own way. How many of us get stuck in that? Oh, I see, this is the way it's going to work out. I remember seeing that in myself. Oh, yeah, that one left, so I'm probably going to be put in there, and this is the way it's going to work. No, God has another plan. God has another plan. And the other part of Peter's plan is when he cuts the servant's ear off. What's Jesus doing? He's about to die. He just come out against the enemy, and Peter draws the sword out and slices the ear off of the priest's servant. And Jesus has to put it back together. What does he tell Peter? He said, put that thing back in there. Put that sword back up. This is not the way it's going to go down. It's going to be in my strength, not yours, Peter. Not what you thought. Don't get caught up in doing things in your own strength. So how do we survive that? I love to look at and break it down. Matthew 6:50. For they all saw him. Watch for him. Watch. I know you're in the middle of hell. I know hell has broke loose. I know everything on every side is negative, 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 negative. I know. But Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts. Though the storm is raging, though the wind is blowing, though my flesh doesn't want to obey, I submit and I keep my mind on him. There's where my peace is in the storm. Keeping my mind stayed on him. The second thing is when they were troubled, he immediately talked to him. Listen to him. Listen for him. Don't concentrate on everything that's going on. All the bad news, one thing after another, one thing after another. Shut them off. Listen for him. John 10:27-26. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will not perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hands. Okay. No one or nothing can snatch them out of his hand unless I walk away. Listen for him. Take courage. He told him, he said, be of good cheer. Cheer means take courage. Notice how it's take courage. Because about this time, we don't know what courage is. It's something you're going to have to go get. And you'll find it in the Word, of course. Take courage. Go get that. What's courage? Courage is strength in the face of pain and grief. It's doing the ability to do something even though it frightens me. That's courage. That's courage. Isaiah 41:10, the Amplified Version says, do not fear anything, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Be assured, I will help you. I will certainly take hold of you. And my righteous right hand, which is the strong hand, a hand of justice and of power and of victory and salvation, will uphold you. Take courage. Know that you're not alone. He is always with you. He knows where you are. He can hear you. And the last thing is, do not fear. Submit to the will of God. Keep doing the last thing he told you to do. Cry out if you need him. Cry out if there's moments of weakness or unbelief. Cry out. He is there. Proverbs 3:5-6, and we quote this many times, is trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Direct in the Hebrew means to make smooth, straight, and right. Who are you trusting? Are you out there trying to roll on your own strength? Like Peter, you're trying to make it your own? Cut the about David, but we all know David, he wasn't perfect either. He said, God, do we go up again? And God says, you do. But this time, go behind them and stand and wait until you hear the sound of the wind in the trees. That's one version. It wasn't wind. The sound. And when I looked up in the dictionary what that meant, it was the clanging of armor. The wind, the armies went forth and defeated the Philistines. Don't be upset by the wind. Don't let it distract you and keep your mind filled up with all the things that could be, should be, was, isn't. Don't. It's just contrary wind. But listen to the wind of the Holy Spirit. Let it guide you and direct you into the path of all righteousness. Let it keep you in God's will. Get in the boat. Go to the other side. Don't be afraid of the wind. Don't be afraid of the wind because you are stronger than the wind. Who is in you is stronger than even the wind, the scorpions. I don't care. My husband doesn't like snakes. The snakes, he's even stronger than the snakes. He runs over them with his lawnmower. Snake no more. He's okay with the snake if he's up here on that lawnmower. But some of his workers will pick him up and chase him with him. Or they chase each other and he's like, dude, I'm done with that. You're on your own. He told the customer, he says, you know, I take care of your lawn, but I'm not a snake killer. And that one is yours. But it's the same thing with us. Why are we afraid when we have all power, all authority? He gave it to the disciples even before the cross, then we should have it living within us. We have the authority. Don't let the contrary wind get you off course. And know that, yes, you're going to come against it even in the will of God. Even when you're walking in the will of God, don't let the enemy use that card against you. It's going to come. He don't want you out there doing what you're supposed to be doing because you're making the difference. You are.